If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Nicola Cranfield has been on the program, well, a few times in the time we've been on here at RCR. You might recognize that name. Cranfield's is in just off Lambton Quay in the Golden Mile of Wellington. And when Nicola was on the last two times, we were talking about this Let's Get Wellington Moving. I don't know if it's moving very well or it's going backwards or wherever it is from her vantage point. Maybe she can tell us. But there have been other developments since then. And Nicola is back on RCR. Hi, Nicola. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me along, Paul.
Now, I caught up with you face-to-face recently, and that was just after I read a news story about you having to close.
Indeed, indeed. For over a year now, we've been working on a month-by-month lease because our lease finished last year and I wasn't confident in what our city council were up to and didn't want to commit or basically sign a personal guarantee for another period. So then the lease just defaulted to a monthly arrangement. And I assumed that we were probably safe and maybe our landlord would even be grateful for the fact that I've been kind of advocating for Wellington City and just sort of leave us alone. But no, there's a new tenant coming in.
Another retail shop, is it? Another retail business?
Indeed. So we're homeless. Yeah.
Homeless. Oh, dear. Okay. Someone has confidence then.
Well, actually, they were Aucklanders, so they didn't know what was happening in Wellington. So buyer beware.
Yeah. So that's 30 years almost over of the business, isn't it, that your mother started?
33, yeah.
33. Mm. Can I ask you that really cliche question? How does it feel?
Well, I really feel like I'm letting down a lot of people, actually. My mother, who started the business and put a lot of energy. The team, who I had to sit through redundancy meetings and, they've been with us a long time, 8 years, 7, 6 years, and 5 years. So they've got a lot of history and they've given so much to Cranfield. So it wasn't the ending that anyone imagined. And then my suppliers all over the world, lots of local craftspeople who rely on Cranfield's, New Zealand importers, and then craftspeople around the world as well, some that we've been dealing with for over 25 years. So there were some really unpleasant emails that I had to send out.
Are there any plans to relocate, or is the same problems in front of you?
Well, we've been completely overwhelmed at the response from our beautiful customers, clients, and because people sort of see us as more than just a place of commerce. We're sort of like, we like to think we're the heart of Wellington, where people right. come in, and especially on a wet, soggy day, it's a nice place to be, and they might spend some of their lunchtime just being around nice things, and they bump into other people. So it's really a bit of a community hub. So people are really sad to hear that our lease is no longer and we're no longer. So they're all coming up with solutions about where we could move to or what we could do or how we could, pivot.
Yeah. Could you go online? Just curious.
Well, we could, but we're also all about the tactile experience. We sell quality items made of natural fibres, and a big part of that is people come and like to touch and feel and have a conversation and connect with us in the store. And if I had an online business, that's probably me on social media packing orders in a garage. Which
right, somewhere, yeah.
Not feeling the love, yeah.
Yeah, feeling the love. Yeah, that's an important point. Just remind us, our listeners, exactly, what you did in the store. What were the products? And kind of who were they? You've just described the interactions. Who were the sort of people that would come along?
Oh, really all sorts. We appeal to people that really appreciate quality, and often they're people that are really thinking and making considered purchases, doing quite a bit of research and thinking about buying once, buy well. So they're not necessarily people that are swayed by brands or a lot of marketing. I feel like they know their taste and just prefer quality over quantity. So male, female, all ages. The stories that have been coming out now when people think that we're about to close about favorite wedding presents, beautiful anniversary gifts they've been given, furniture that they've been using for 20 years made out of solid timber, made in New Zealand. You know, there's a real heart response. We're selling things that have an impact not only on the maker, but the people that have ended up with the item in their home.
Has there been any reaching out to you from anyone in the city council?
A couple of the independent councillors have indeed reached out, and they've been really supportive and apologetic that this is what it's come to, that they're the minority in the council, that's for sure. So they really don't have the sway, and they don't have the ability to change the, what do you call it, the bus of upheaval that's charging towards us.
Who's driving the bus?
Well, there's definitely, it's an international push, isn't it, for this mode shift, the idea of getting people onto buses and scooters and bikes, which does work for a small percentage of the population. But if you've spent any time in Wellington and know about our topography and about our public transport system, you'll realise that a lot of people cannot rely on it. So that's coming from like the UN World Economic Forum. And I guess our CEO in Wellington's really driving that, and the majority of the councillors and the mayor.
Do you think they're kind of insulated from the real world of, you know, what it actually means to run a retail business? Because that's what you're talking about when you're talking about CBD, right? Retail businesses, many like yours, long established, and foot traffic is vital, access is vital. There seems to be a misunderstanding, or, I don't know, like a blind spot on that. It seems a bit sort of surprising to me.
Well, I've heard Simon Wolfe, who is now a regional Wellington City Councillor, and he was a Wellington City Councillor for, I think, at least two terms. And he agreed and said it's almost like an anti-business sentiment within council, just sort of seeing us as the enemy rather than that we all work together. And if businesses do well, especially Wellington-owned ones, the money is staying within Wellington, that's spent within our businesses. And we often employ Wellingtonians at a much higher rate. You know, we don't have people on the minimum wage. We have more careers. Whereas when you get the big box retail, they're out in the malls. They're probably owned by Australians. It's quite a different model. And yet the council sort of, as I say, sees us as the enemy. And it's not that we're working together.
Are those Let's Get Wellington Moving plans that we've talked about, and that is taking cars out of that area and priority to buses, scooters and cycles, is all that still going ahead? I thought that there'd been some sort of limitation put on that, or at least the government sounds like they don't have much tolerance for this sort of project, what it costs and what it could result in. Are they still pushing
You're
ahead?
Right. There's a real gap of understanding out there, and I think because the project has been handed over to the Wellington City Council along with the central government's promise of 50% of the funding. So now it's within the council, and the council are pushing through with the whole program, but people don't realise that. It's not even up for debate in the long-term plan. They just say it's a done deal, there's been plenty of feedback given, and this is what Wellington wants. Yeah.
No one came and asked me, by the way.
Well, an independent poll was conducted in November last year, and 21% of respondees were keen for this project to continue through.
That's hardly a greatest hit, is it?
No, and the majority, everyone's wanting the pipes to be repaired. infrastructure to be sorted out and our rates not to be, 17% increasing on an annual basis.
Yeah.
We need Wellington to be affordable.
They're so dogged about it. That's the thing. So dogged.
And they take it so personally. Like our mayor has said, you know, this is why I was voted in. This is right, my project. Rather than focusing on the issues. And well, people don't seem to be able to change tact either.
I don't remember it being a major campaign plank, actually. Really.
No, agreed.
All right. If you were to find a month-to-month some other place nearby, would you consider that?
Well, the problem is most of Wellington's about to be filled with cones, so where would you go?
I noticed that on around by the railway station there, on the quay there.
In Thorndon Quay.
Thorndon Quay, it's
slalom course.
It's like we've been invaded by some sort of orange alien.
Those spikes, huh?
Hook itself to a road. Yeah, it's a horrible look, isn't it?
I've spoken to a few retailers down there, and one actually came into the store with his bike helmet because he's a cyclist. And he said it's just been terrible for business. And they initially were quite sort of open to it, and now they've just realized that it's got this real aggression to it and people just want to get through. There's obviously no parks to be had, but they just want to get out.
Yeah, it's a horrible look. But that aggression thing's interesting because there's something else I want to ask you about. Mm. And that is your encounter with the Green MP, Julianne Genta. That sounded, from your description anyway, and we chatted a bit about that when I saw you, that sounded like kind of aggressive.
It was pretty surprising, yeah. I ran into her outside my store in Midland Park the end of last year, and I sort of thought, oh, here's an opportunity, because maybe the information that I pass on to councillors and Let's Get Welling Moving doesn't head up to the MPs. Maybe she'd be interested to know how it is for a small retailer on the ground. And so I was very polite and just inquired and double-checked that it was her, and then asked the sort of few questions and just sort of passed on what an impact it would have on my business. And, and she grabbed my arm and was really held on quite firmly with a bit of a shake before I sort of pulled away to show, I guess, that it wasn't my place to be giving her feedback.
Did she say anything with the grabbing of the arm?
She was just kept repeating that she isn't in power anymore, that it's sort of not her doing, not her fault. Like she was sort of washing her hands of all really responsibility.
Were you surprised by that?
I was really surprised. I mean, I've had some pretty unpleasant dealings with Let's Get Wellie Moving over the years. That the media had even heard about another incident, and I was called for comment, and I thought, oh no, I don't want to make this personal. Let's focus on the issues. And at the time, it was the post said, okay, we'll focus on the issues. And so I said, you know, let's talk about the truth. But the story never ran because I didn't want to go with the juicy stuff.
Okay, fair enough. The reason I asked, well, obviously curious, but it does seem to be that a certain persuasion of, I don't know, political alignments have this aggression, because we see this in woke people. They sort of, they kind of lose their SHBT a lot. And you talked about, and I think you make it a good point, that those cones and those markers, that they kind of feel like some aggressive move towards what, people who don't cycle, I don't know, or drive their car. There seems to be this sort of attitude, this aggressive attitude that comes through in them. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, and a real superiority as well, looking down on us. And I have to say, like, since I wasn't going to say anything about the the grabbing of my arm, but someone that I told about at the time of the incident really pressed me and said, you know, it builds up a whole story about these bullies. And if we all stand back, then the information doesn't get out there. So I did tell my story. And then once that got traction, then the one-star reviews really kicked up a notch.
Okay, so the troll farm is in business now.
Oh, honestly, the emails, the one-star reviews. The last one-star review said that I had the victimhood complex and needed professional help. So, yeah, they're really angry.
I wonder who needs the help. Did you get any call from her? Because if I saw that, I would think, oh, my golly, that was horrible. Look, I'm so – look, I better get on the phone to Nicola right now and sort this out. Any calls?
Silence, no. And actually, one of the journalists popped into the store just to see how I was after the weekend, because it was quite a media frenzy, and I'm not exactly media trained. Like, I'm just the shopkeeper who's found herself on the front line. And she was very sweet, just checking in to see if I was all right. And I said, I'm sort of all right, but look at what I'm getting. And this email had just come through wishing me a horrible death. And I showed it to her, and she said, do you mind if I show the editor? And I said, no, sure. And the editor sent it to the Greens for comment. And the Greens said, oh, obviously we don't condone such behaviour, and this is not appropriate. But they also recommended that the paper didn't run any story, because that might encourage more of this behaviour.
So they they know there's more lurking, do they?
But they also wanted to silence me again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Any ideas on why so? Well, arrogant is one thing too. They must think you're some kind of Luddite or knuckle dragger or something like that, that you're worthy.
There's a lot of Karen go back to the 1960s.
Yeah.
Yeah. All personal rather than focusing on the issue at hand, which is what I've always tried to just talk about, the truth, the issues. But the insults are always super personal.
Yeah, and they complain about it the other way too. Like, they howl about that. So there you go. And do you think that represents kind of the same view as the city council, really? Because those people are in there, aren't they?
Mm.
Those types.
Yeah. Types. And so many people working in comms. It's funny, when I've had these interviews, they sort of expect an entourage of people. I'm like, no, it's just me. And often we're just sitting in Midland Park, or they say, can I come to your office? And I'm like, I don't have an office. I'm like, I'm a shopkeeper. So we go and stand in Midland Park and hope for not too much wind and rain.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's sad to hear that that's coming to an end. How are you coping with it?
Yeah, I'm sad, but I guess I've just been so busy in the store and having really beautiful conversations with people who've come in to thank us, that I haven't really had a chance to grieve yet, I guess.
Okay, well, thanks for coming on this morning. So sorry to hear about that.
Thanks for your support. I appreciate it.
My blood pressure is rising again.
Oh, sorry.
It happens every morning. Now, almost. All the best for the future. We'll keep an eye out for anything that might come out on this, and who knows what could happen. But thanks for coming on this morning, Nicola Cranfield from Cranfield's, just off Lambton Quay, Johnson Street, isn't it? Yep. And maybe we'll talk again soon when it's all done and dusted. We'll find out how things are then.
Thanks for your time, Paul. Appreciate it.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.